This week, I'm going to use a little more reverse psychology on you. Last week, we started a series called Spiritual Growth Barriers, and we learned how to be unteachable, because that would help us not to grow. See, my mindset was, if you know, I told you what not to do and you realized you were doing it, then you'd go, ouch, oops. So we're going to do more of that today. So today is part two, spiritual growth barriers, things that keep us from growing. So I want to teach you today how not to hear from God. What to do to not hear from God. What you're going to notice on your sermon notes, the stuff in italics is generally the true statements. The other stuff is the reverse psychology, or whatever we want to call it. So my opening thought, and I want you to think about this, and this is true. When we're not growing spiritually, we're generally going backwards. And when we're not growing spiritually, generally, you're growing backwards. The reason being is that we live in a world and in a culture, in an environment in which we are constantly facing resistance. Those of you that have ever spent any time cycling know that if you're going to go uphill, you don't want to stop. You don't want to lose your forward momentum, because if you lose your forward momentum, it's going to be a lot harder to get started again, and it's easy to find yourself sliding back down. And a lot of things in life are like that. I wish that life could be coasting along a flat highway. I wish that could be that way, but you know, we have the enemy working against us, we have our culture working against us, we have sin working against us, and so in order to move forward, in order to grow, we've got to purposely pursue that course. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves very easily going backwards. I want to start by reading a scripture in Philippians 3 to you. And this is Paul. This is Paul's focus. This is Paul's goal, Paul's desire, and his heart cry. He says this: "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Notice that word, press on. I don't know if your translation uses the same words, but I press on. "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." Understand this, he's saying, I haven't arrived. I'm not going to relax. "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Look at the person next to you and say, "straining." If no person is next to you, just look silly. "Straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Look, one of the things I want you to understand, you know, our salvation and our relationship with God, it's by faith. It is by faith, and by faith in Christ, it's by faith in Him alone. But our actions and our desire and our motivation, if we've truly been saved by God, if God is truly beginning a work in us, then our lifestyle needs to reflect that. And this idea of pressing on and straining toward the goal and deciding to maintain forward momentum is something that needs to be in place in our life. All right, so I'm going to teach you three things here that you can do. You know, three things that will keep you from growing, three things that you can do to not hear from God or to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because if you're going to grow, you want to hear from God and you want to be led by the Holy Spirit. If you don't want to grow, make sure you do these three things. Number one, don't read Scripture. If you don't want to grow, by all means, don't read Scripture. And if you do, always be sure to assume that you already know what it means. Don't bother to approach it with an open heart. And that will guarantee, at least, you know, in part, that you won't grow. Understand that God's word is, it's our foundation. It's our power. It's our source of joy. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Nehemiah said, "I took your words and did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my soul." God's word and Scripture, I mean, it's the foundation of everything that we learn and know and understand about God, about what we're to be and what God wants to do in us. So if you don't want to grow, don't bother to read it. And make sure that you already think you know what it means. Psalm 1, 1 to 3 says this, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf also does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." In order for the tree to be healthy and grow, it needs to have a good root system and be in a place where it gets the kind of nourishment that it needs to grow and be healthy. Sometimes our focus is a little bit askew. We have a tendency to focus on external things about ourselves. Man, I've just got to be, I got to try to be more loving. I got to try to be more joyful. I got to try to be happier, you know. And it's kind of like we're trying to dress up the tree on the outside, but inside the tree is rotten, or the root system is shallow, and it's in the middle of a desert, and you wonder what's wrong. The truth is we need to learn to focus on pursuing God and drive our roots deep into his word. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In it, he meditates day and night. You want to be like a healthy tree that's growing with a deep root system that has access to water and nutrients and light and sunshine and all of those things that are going to help you to become strong, stable, and mature. It comes back to meditating and delighting in the law of God. Proverbs 3, 1 to 7, the writer says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." Keep my commands in your heart. Write them on the tablet of your heart. It's one thing to know information. It's another thing to have an intrinsic understanding of how that information needs to affect your life. There are things that have to happen in your life that only the Word of God can do when you apply it, when you understand it, when you see it, and you realize what God wants you to do. I love this verse in Isaiah, because if you've ever been struggling with a decision, you didn't know what to do. How many of you ever, you've been in a time in your life where you just didn't know what to do? Been there? Anybody? Anybody? Oh, all of you. Okay, good. You didn't know what to do. And this is something that God says to Isaiah. Isaiah 30:21, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Now I want you to kind of process that for a minute. Imagine being able to hear from the Lord on a daily basis, in which he is able to say to you, "Go this way, not that way. Do this thing, not that thing. Don't do that thing, do that thing instead. Say this, don't say that." Does that spark something in you? That kind of direction, that kind of relationship with God, in which he's able to direct you and guide you daily in every decision that you make and everything that you do. I mean, I hope that sparks a hunger in you, because that's the kind of thing that he wants to be able to do. And that kind of direction comes when you commit yourself to immersing and taking in God's word and God's truth into your heart. You see, one of the worst things that we can do when we read God's word is to assume we already know everything it's saying to us. It is living, after all, and active. Last week, we spent some time talking about the pathway in the parable of the sower, and how when we approach things because of our routines and because of our habits and because of the ruts that we find ourselves living in, when we approach Scripture with a mindset that says, "Well, I already know this," the seed isn't planted and it can't produce fruit and the tree can't grow. We don't want to be like that pathway in last week's parable. Instead, we want to approach God's word with an open heart, with an open face, and say, Lord, help me understand it. Bring it to life in my life. Pray that the Spirit of God would help us read it, understand it, know it, and apply it. But if you don't want to grow, don't bother to do that. That's fine. Just don't do it. Number two, if you don't want to hear from God, don't pray. Especially about things you haven't prayed about before. You know, those things that God, you know, God, those things that you don't think God cares about. Those things that you don't think God wouldn't bother himself with. So if you don't want to grow, don't pray. Don't pray about things you haven't prayed about before. And especially this, don't seek guidance and wisdom from the Holy Spirit in all areas of your life. Because if you do that, you'll grow. Matthew 7:7-11 says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Or Luke 12:6-7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And then Colossians 1:9-12. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. There's so much here. A lot of times we don't get wisdom because we don't seek it. But God is very clear in promising that if you seek wisdom from my Spirit, I will give it to you. I want to give you wisdom abundantly. And yet we stumble through life, flying by the seat of our pants, making choices based on hunches and feelings and what's logically the right choice. Logically. Instead of going to God and saying, Lord, I need wisdom and guidance. And God says, that's great because I want to give it to you. We convince ourselves not to seek God's wisdom and guidance because maybe, well, that's too small for him to worry about. Or that's too big for him to worry about. When God says, don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. You see, I really believe that God truly does care about the little things in your life. Not because they're earth-shattering from his perspective, but because those are the things that Satan uses to try to steal your joy. And if you lose your joy, you lose your strength, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we allow that to happen. And so rather than let Satan steal it from you, Corrie Ten Boom said, if it's small enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. I'm sorry, if it's big enough to pray about, it's not too small to pray about. Oh, wait a second. I didn't say that right. Did I say it right? Okay, because right now my words have jumbled in my head. If it's large enough to worry about, it's not too small to pray about. we allow ourselves to be thrown off course by things that we think that are too small to bring to God. And God's saying, you know, rather than let Satan use it to steal your joy, to get you bent out of shape, come to me with it. But if you don't want to grow, don't bother to pray about those things. Don't bother to lift them up to God. Don't bother to seek wisdom. Don't bother to seek guidance, because he wants to offer all of those to you. And then Paul's prayer in Colossians that God would fill us with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that we might live a life worthy of God and please him and bear fruit and grow and be strengthened with power and might. If you go through life and you feel weak and defeated and discouraged, understand that that's not the place that God wants you to stay. The third thing that you should not do if you don't want to grow is don't bother to look for opportunities to stretch yourself or your faith. Remember, this is if you don't want to grow. The truth is, this is where a lot of us find ourselves, because again, our humanness and our natural selves, our desire is to find a flat somewhere, a big flat straightaway, get up to a good speed and hope that we can just coast for a long time. And the reality is, in the physical world, even on a flat surface, on a bicycle, there are forces working against you. Wind resistance, friction, the winding down of the machine, and the weight on the bicycle. I guess if you want to go that far, right? Are you saying I'm fat? What are you saying? No. Actually, the Wii Fit, you know, have any of you done that? You weighed yourself and it told you what you were? I'm obese according to the Wii Fit. Yeah, Joe and I are obese. I just, you know, I'm tall enough that I can stretch it out. See? I just stretch it out. Suck in my gut. We're good. But I do need to lose a lot of weight. Oh my goodness. Okay, we're off that now. So, stretching our faith. Hebrews 11:1 says this: now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. How can we be certain of what we do not see? Well, it really comes back down to knowing God, knowing what he said, and trusting that what he said is true. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But it kind of boils down to something that we talked about in our Sunday school class for a little while too this morning in James 2:17 and 18, where James writes, in the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, well, you have faith and I have deeds. James writes, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Now, I don't understand why this seems to be such a stumbling block for a lot of people, theologically, denominationally, the disparity between faith and works, like somehow they're not connected. Scripture is very clear, like I said earlier, that we are saved by faith. Faith in Christ, faith in his sacrifice, faith in what he's done. And that our works and our deeds cannot save us. You can't ever do enough. You're never going to be able to do enough to earn right status with God. So it's not a balance of faith and works. It's understanding that if your faith is not accompanied by action, then I question it as faith. In other words, if you have made a commitment to follow Christ and he has changed your life, then your actions and your deeds should reflect that change. And if they don't, I wonder if anything's changed. It's not so much that faith without works is dead, it's that faith without works isn't really faith. That's why it's dead. If God's changed you, then who you are and what you do will follow suit. And the real process of growth for us is to find ways that we can stretch ourselves beyond what we've done. We can stretch our faith. Look, this concept of growing spiritually is a lot like physical exercise. Okay, I'm going to go back to the Wii Fit. The interesting thing about this exercise program is that it starts small, and as you progress, it begins to stretch you. I could do 10 push-ups every day for the rest of my life. And after a while, those 10 push-ups get a little easier. But if I stop there and I don't go on to the next level, I go from beginner to intermediate, and then I go from intermediate to, I think, expert, which sounds kind of silly. I'm an expert push-up person. I mean, what? Anyway, advanced, expert, various levels. It's always going to stretch you. Stretch yourself. Build up strength. Do more. Do 20. And then after you're good at doing 20, push yourself to 30. And then after you push yourself and you do 30, then you push yourself farther and do 40. This process of spiritual growth, the reason that Paul talks about it in terms of a race and even in terms of boxing, I do not fight as one beating the air. The idea that we stretch ourselves by going outside the box, by trusting as God guides us and leads us and says, I want you to go farther. I want you to go beyond. I want you to try something that's a little bit harder than you think that you can do, and I want you to trust me, and I'll give you the strength, and I'll give you the foresight, and I'll give you the ability to do it. You see, faith grows as we reach out beyond ourselves. A little bit at a time. Perhaps baby steps. I think our biggest failing in spiritual discipline is oftentimes getting a little too ambitious at the outset and trying too much. Okay, if I decided tomorrow, you know what, this is crazy. I have got to lose 40 pounds. And so tomorrow I am going to run a marathon. Every day I'm going to run a marathon every day for the rest of my life. How successful do you think this would be? Yeah. Not very successful. We are a fickle people and we give up easily. But when it comes to stretching ourselves in the realm of physical, mental, and spiritual disciplines, we've got to push ourselves. That's why I appreciated that running program that I had got from my sister-in-law. It started out, even for somebody like myself who hadn't run this past summer, hadn't run at all, and I was recovering from that ankle injury. You know, I could go out to the high school track, and I would look at what I was supposed to do, and I think, okay, that might be hard, but I think I can do that, and I pushed myself through that and do that for the week, and it got a little bit easier. And then I thought, okay, now if I could just do this for the rest of my life, no, then I'm supposed to push a little harder. And then I follow the next step, and then I push through that. At first it's hard, then it gets a little bit easier, and then, okay, I get to the end of the week, okay, that's working pretty well. Okay, now I got to go to the next step. Okay, I got to run a little bit longer. I got to run a little bit harder. I got to run a little bit faster, just a little bit. And then it's hard, and then I go through the week, and then it wasn't so bad, and then, okay, good, I think I could get used to this, and then no, I got to go the next step. Ah, constantly moving forward, constantly desiring to make progress. God isn't really happy with us just finding a place of comfortableness. Is that a word? Finding a place of comfortableness and just staying there. Put the thing in third gear and just kind of stay in third gear, you know. Doesn't work that way, because God says, I want you to be so much more. I want to do so much more through your life. Growing in our faith is a lot like learning to walk. Sometimes we fall down, but we've got to pick ourselves up, let God pick us up, and keep moving forward. So even though today I'm teaching you how not to grow, that's really not what I want you to do. I want you to do the exact opposite of what we've talked about today. I want you to open up your heart to the truth of Scripture. I want you to read it with an open face, as the Spirit of God helps you understand it, so that he can teach you what it means. I want you to pray. I want you to pray about the small things in your life. I want you to pray for guidance and wisdom in every choice that you make this week. And this week, to see you grow, I want you to look for ways that you can stretch yourself beyond what you're comfortable doing, even if it's just a little bit. And trust God that he'll give you the wisdom and the strength to do what he's called you to do. Let's stand together and pray, and we'll let you go. Father, thank you for everyone here tonight, this morning. That, Lord, it's so easy to allow things in our culture, things in our busyness, influences of the enemy, God, to forsake the things that we need to do in order to have forward momentum, to see that growth that needs to happen in our life. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to draw us to you. Create in us a hunger for those things that we don't normally hunger after. That you have begun a good work in us, we'll carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Lord, help us to grow so that we can be effective, so that we can continue to have the privilege of being used by you to touch lives and to draw others to you as they look at us and they see you reflected in us, as they see our good deeds and they praise God because of what we've done, because they see you working and living in us. We thank you for that, Lord, for what you can do through one obedient life. Father, help us to display our love for you by doing what you've asked us to do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, well, I know you don't want to grow, but you know what? You got to do it. All right, God bless. Have a great week.